Good morning. Good morning. We're on the air here, and that's the name of the show. And we have a guest, as we always do, the last Thursday of every month. We have a guest, James Anderson, who is
part naturalist.
Yeah, our naturalist. I was trying to figure out which pot I was supposed to go up so your mic would work, and it's working. So
awesome.
We're good.
Awesome.
And you had kind of an we didn't have you last month because you had your own bout with COVID.
I did. My wife and I did.
Oh my! And you said your son either was asymptomatic or he didn't get it.
Yes, and we were very blessed because he has asthma, and but luckily, yeah, he didn't get it. And that was, I told you earlier, that was the hardest part, was just keeping up with him. Of course, he's 5 years old. He's just bundled with energy. And
yeah, but you deal with animals all the time.
I know, but when you're sick, it's a different story.
Yeah,
but
it is.
But yeah, it was. He was a good helper. He helped mom and dad out while we were under
the
weather.
What a nice boy he is.
Oh, he is.
He does seem to be a really nice boy. I think I've seen him once, but watching you on Facebook, it sounds like he's been brought up right.
Well, that's good.
And mommy.
Yeah, he had his 100th day of school last Friday, so he got to dress up as an old man.
Oh, they get to dress up on their 100th day.
Yes, yes. You had to act like you were 100 years old, and we had a little fake life alert.
Well, you should have had him contact me. I could have shown him exactly how to act.
And
he
did the whole rehearsal of the I'm down and I can't get up.
Oh.
So he did a good job with that.
Oh, I wish I had seen it. I bet it was fun. Anyway, oh, we have a phone call already. Let's go to the phone and see what we've got.
Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Well, good morning, Glenn, and good morning, James.
Good morning. How are you, Jeff?
It's Fred Malone calling.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred, yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was Jeff,
Jeff Ruth.
Yeah, Jeff Ruth.
Well,
sorry.
Listen, James, it's really nice to hear your voice again. I called last month when you were supposed to be on, of course, and then Glenn told me that you were quarantined with the COVID. I'm glad to hear that you made it through. That's really good news.
Yeah, we luckily we didn't have too many complications.
Well, that's wonderful. And the fact that your son didn't develop it, that was great, because I'm also an asthmatic. And I'm worried about this ever since this came out.
Well, you got your shot, though, right?
Well, I got my first one. I get my second one a week from today.
Oh,
so
good.
Literally, my wife and I have gone nowhere except tall grass trails, basically.
Awesome.
And what I called in last month to tell you was that we were out there about a week before your last show that didn't occur. With a couple of our friends who are also our age and were in the middle of getting shots.
So that means
and,
about 50. About 50.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I was going to say 39, but, you know,
sorry.
Jack Benny's dead, so.
Yeah.
But it was a cold day, but it was a sunny day, and we parked there at the main parking lot, walked down, and then went around the lake. And when we were on the opposite side of the lake where the boat launch is, a beautiful eagle flew right over top of our heads.
Awesome.
Yeah, with the white tail and it was a fantastic
Isn't
sight.
Cool. Yeah.
And so really nice to see, because we had our friends with us, and they're outdoors people too. We do a lot of hiking together. And so it was really thrilling to see that. And he kind of circled, and then he swooped down, and there wasn't much ice on the water that particular day, and got himself a little dinner, a breakfast.
Awesome. So you got to watch it all.
Yeah, it was an absolutely fantastic time. And we've seen, I think this is at least our fourth or fifth time of seeing an eagle out there. So
awesome.
For those people that haven't had an opportunity or don't go out to tall grass, you're missing a great opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
See some fantastic sights.
Yeah. Now, I've been talking to James ever since we started talking on the air about my... I walked around the lake and he was our leader, and there was an eagle staring at me, which kind of scared me. I looked like dinner.
That part's a little spooky.
Yeah, it was spooky. And I thought, well, he'll fly away as soon as we get close to that tree. Wrong.
years ago, when I used to be prolific Indian artifact hunter, surface hunter, used to do a lot of hunting down in the... if you're familiar with where Little Mexico is, just outside of Sycamore, the Sandusky River runs through there. And I used to see a lot of eagles down along the Sandusky River when I was out surface hunting. So it never ceases to amaze me.
No, it never gets old, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Now, I do understand, and I was going to ask James about this, so since we got you on the air, I will ask James for our benefit. I understand that back in the early 80s, we were down to 4 pairs in the state of Ohio of eagles, and now it's up to like 700 pairs.
Yes, by 1975, there was only 4 pairs left in the state.
Wow.
By Lake Erie, mainly.
Yeah, I remember when that occurred. I sure do, yeah.
Wow.
And when they first started appearing along the Sandusky River, just outside of Tiffin and outside of Sycamore and Fremont, it was a big deal.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Well,
it's
a very big deal. It's a big deal here. I remember the first pair that I saw were out by the prison, and they were flying over the over Route 23.
Yeah. They have a nest there.
Yeah, that's what I heard later.
Prison,
yeah.
Now, James, that largest nest that's located in Ohio, I understand that that came down in a storm, but the state has since rebuilt it. Is that correct? You know which one I'm talking about?
I vaguely have heard about it, but...
It's somewhere up around Huron or somewhere,
okay.
I think, in that area. But it was the largest one in the state, maybe even the largest nest in the Midwest. And it came down a few years ago in a real bad straight-line windstorm.
Wow.
But the state rebuilt it. And I just read recently, I think it was in the Columbus Dispatch, that it was being used again. So
Oh, that's great.
That's an encouraging thing.
Well, I know
too.
Down in Florida, and I forget when, I think this was in the mid-2000s, there was a nest that blew off, and they weighed almost 2 tons.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I think
huge.
This one was pretty close to that, James.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was absolutely huge.
How does the state of Ohio rebuild it? They just make a platform for them?
I don't know.
Surely
they don't
take sticks up there.
they probably do. Like, for the ospreys, they make platform towers, and then the eagles and ospreys will make their own nests.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't think a mama eagle would necessarily like what an Ohio person would build.
Well, and that's interesting because a number of years ago, my wife and I took her parents over to the eastern part of the state. It was then called Atwood Lodge. I think it belonged to the state at that time, but I think it's since been sold to the county, and it's still operational, but it was shut down for a while when the state closed it.
Okay.
But over there, there's a pretty good-sized lake there, and the state had built a pole with a platform out in the middle of one of these marsh areas, and an osprey built a big nest on that platform.
Oh, really?
Which was kind of interesting. Yeah, because they actually had a little walkway built out where you could go out and they had one of those micro binocular things set up where you could put a quarter in.
Oh,
and
you could
view it. Yeah,
isn't
that very interesting to watch those?
Isn't there a television station that always follows an osprey?
Well, Channel 6. Yeah, there's one built on top of their tower. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what I called about. And
thank you.
Listen, you guys have a good show. I'll be listening and, of course, excited to see spring coming. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention, the other day I was out kind of finishing cleaning off my driveway, and there was a cardinal feather laying in my driveway.
Oh, yeah? Good.
Yeah. And, of course, I have a number of fedoras from the 40s that I put feathers
there
in.
There you go.
That one's going to go in one of my gray or black fedoras.
Oh, good. Excellent. That'll be beautiful.
Style.
All right. Well, listen, you guys have a great show. And, oh, by the way, Glenn, I come on the third Thursday.
Third, not the second.
Yep. I think you said second.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I get confused.
All those Thursdays get mixed in.
Hey, ask James. I'm always confused about when he comes on. So.
Well, that happens when we get to be over 70. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
Have a great day, guys.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Fred.
Bye-bye. Ah, cool. Fred's a great, we have a great show, and we've been going over inaugurals of presidents lately.
Oh, I bet that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it is. And he gets carried away. He doesn't just talk about the inaugural of Lincoln. He talks about
what he did the day before, who his wife yelled at the night before. You know, he goes all around the stuff. And,
you know, that's some good stuff to know, some history.
Yeah, it is nice. And, well, we're getting awful close to having our first break, so I'm not going to start you on that little critter that's sitting in
Sounds
front of
good.
You yet. And I will tell people, though, to hang in there if they're gardeners like I am. My third hour today, after James heads off to the Tall Grass Trail, my third hour is going to be all about gardening facts and trivia and stuff like that. So, and some of them have raised my thought process to ask you a couple of things.
All right, I'll try to answer.
So, anyway, we're going to take a break here in about 30 seconds, so I don't have anything that lasts 30 seconds. You got anything? Oh, do you have it? Have you started doing any of your programming yet?
We're going to probably jump on in probably about April or May. That's our goal, at least.
All right. Well, good. We will cover that when you come back in April and May. Okay, we're going to take that break. You're listening to On the Air here at WWGH in Marion, Ohio. Next week on Thursday at the 11 o'clock hour, I'm going to have a Boston Marathoner on and a great friend of my son. So we'll be right back.
Ted, did you know President Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Well, we're back here with James Anderson, the Marion Naturalist, who is always on our last Thursday. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, we got him on today. He had a layoff last month because of a little illness, which we all know about. And we're going to talk about, he's got a little critter, and you look pensive. Is there something?
I think I hear the emergency and the background radio.
Oh, okay. I think we're off now.
Okay, now we're off. Past awesome, it. All right.
So if you were listening to the emergency signal, we're sorry. You didn't miss a whole lot. You missed some public service announcements. All right. You want to get into the little critter that's sitting there in front of you, James.
So I brought in a skunk pelt.
Yeah, it's not alive, folks.
That's right. So reason why I really want to talk about skunks this week, because this is the time of year that skunks are pretty active in the state of Ohio, Marion County, because it's their breeding season. And hopefully after today's program, you'll kind of learn about their behavior. Also, too, I'll give you maybe some tips on how to prevent skunks and maybe some other nuisance wildlife from coming onto your property.
Are you going to tell us how to get rid of the smell if they get you?
And then that was actually going to be my next thing, yes, on the proper way to get rid of.
There are some bad ways, aren't there?
There are some bad ways, yes.
I've heard.
So the skunk, we have about 6-7 different species of skunks in the United States. And
really?
In the state of Ohio, we only have one species. It's just a striped skunk. Within their name, they have a long white or two stripes running down their back. Now,
is it one or two? Or?
It just depends. And okay. The thing is, it's funny. I've seen some skunks almost completely black with no white, and I've seen some that have almost a completely white back.
Huh.
So it's just genetics that just control that. But overall, they usually have those two stripes that run all the way down the back and down to the tail.
The critter we're looking at has the two stripes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. These guys are very, very common in the state of Ohio, and they are very adaptable, just like coyotes and raccoons. You can find them in forests, you can find them in fields, agriculture areas, and you can find them in suburban, urban environments.
They're not dangerous, are they?
Not
other than the smell.
Other than the spray. They do have the potential risk of carrying rabies and other diseases.
Okay.
But
like all rodent creature. Are they rodents?
No, they are not rodents. What classifies a rodent is basically their front teeth.
Oh.
The front teeth never ever stop growing. That's why they always have to chew on something, because if they don't, they get what's called malocclusion, which means their bottom teeth can grow all the way up and their top teeth can grow all the way down, and then they can't open their mouths and they starve to death. That's why it's very important for like mice and hamsters and gerbils and muskrats and things like that to, again, constantly chew. So that's why you probably see a lot of house mice constantly chewing on stuff in your homes.
Yeah. I don't see them in my homes because they get killed if they come in.
They get killed. And then also too with rodents, their front incisor teeth, they're orange because they have most of them are orange because they have the iron to help prevent from breaking off. So versus skunks, you know, they don't have those front incisor teeth. But you know, it's kind of funny when you mentioned about like what group they belong to. For the longest time, they were considered a weasel. When people first classify them, like way, you know, back in the 1600s, 1700s, as they were looking at it, they were looking at the skunk based on physical appearance. Well, they say, well, it looks like a weasel and it acts like a weasel. Mm-hmm. So let's classify it in the weasel group and the weasel family. And it was like that for a very, very long time. But until we kind of discover about DNA and everything, we actually found out that skunks are a little bit more distant from weasels than we thought. So now they are in their own group, their own category, the Mephitidae family.
They're special.
Yes. But that just kind of talks, you know, especially high school kids, you know, how DNA has really helped with classification.
Then Pepe Le Pew is one of those, right?
Yes.
I love Pepe.
Oh, yes. I love those classic cartoons. Oh, yeah. And that he was in love with the cats.
Yeah. Oh, he was a crazy French. If you haven't seen that cartoon, that's one of my favorites. Bullwinkle and Rocky and Bullwinkle are my first favorite, and I'd say Pepe Le Pew is my second. So
I like Foghorn Leghorn. He was my favorite.
I never got into him.
Chicken.
I like eating chicken, not watching chicken.
So these guys I like to call they're like spiders of the woods because they eat a lot of insects. A lot of people don't realize that they are very important for us because without skunks, we really could be overrun with a lot of insect species. Mm-hmm. So they are really important for us. Now, the problem that we can have other than diseases is if your yard is infested with grubs. You know, those underground insects.
And they will wreck your yard.
Yes, sure. Skunks will come in and they'll use their smell and they'll say, oh, hey, there's food. Well, then next thing you know it, you've got these giant mount piles in your yard and they're bigger than moles.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So they can cause some damage to your property.
Or you can turn your ankle on one.
I've done that. True. Oh, have you really?
Yes, on my front yard, and I still have the hole that I have to fill in now. I never did. So.
Oh, wow. So as we were talking about earlier, this is the breeding season, and it's only lasts for a few weeks. The females is only in estrus for about 4 to 5 days, so that male doesn't have a lot of time to find those females because they don't den together.
Mm-hmm.
They den in separate areas. So as I mentioned earlier, they're going to be very active, so they may, if they're denning on your property or if you have a female on your property, you may have a lot of skunks coming in, and especially if you have a female, you know, you may have multiple males coming in.
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, it can become dangerous, not just because of the diseases or your yard, but like we mentioned earlier about the spray.
Yeah.
Is
there a way to tell visually?
No.
Without flipping them over.
Yeah. Without close examination.
Yeah.
There's really no way to.
Are the males bigger than the females?
I mean, yeah, but.
But only a little.
Yeah, not by much. Like birds of prey, like bald eagles. You really can tell a difference if they're side by side with against one another. But I always tell people, if you want to deter skunks, I said the big thing you need to do is anything very smelly, because they use their sense of smell. So what I mean by that, you can get cotton balls dipped in cleaning pneumonia.
Is that ironic?
Yes. There are those sulfur bombs like you can buy at Lowe's, Menards, and it does produce that stinky gas. But you do have to keep in mind that they can go underneath your garage, your shed, your house, because since they are kind of burrowing animals a little bit, they have that capability. So if I tell people, if you throw, that sulfur bomb underneath your house, well, that smell is going to linger up, and then next thing you know, you're going to smell like that rotten egg smell in your house.
Are they like mice that they don't like the smell of mint or peppermint?
I mean, that would probably deter them, but I haven't really experimented about peppermint with skunks, but I know, like for deer, that's a really good way to help repel.
Well, we bought a car, and the headlights went out, and we couldn't figure out why the headlights went out. The car was only about 4 years old at the time, 5 years old. Come to find out, we had mice that were chewing on the wires, and they chewed them. Well, we had to get that taken care of, but I now keep a little bag of peppermint inside my car.
Okay.
And I hope it keeps them away.
Now, another way you can deter skunks on your property is if you get those great horned owl statues, and especially if they move.
They believe in those things?
Oh, yes, because...
figured somebody was pulling my leg on
that. Well, but you got to be on top of it, because if you just keep that owl statue at the same place, the skunks are going to eventually say, well, that's not real.
That's not
but the moving. More realistic you can get those statues, like the ones that can move when they're motion activated and especially create the sound, those are very, very effective.
And very expensive.
And that's the problem too next. Yeah, they are very expensive. Now, what I tell people you can try is if you get your iPhone, hook it up to a CD player or whatever, or a boombox, get the Great Horned Owl call, and you can look that up on YouTube or online, and I have heard that can deter skunks away from your property.
I would assume that also deters some other small critters.
It probably would. Great Horned Owls are one of the few top predators for skunks, because owls don't care if they get sprayed, because they don't have a sense of smell.
Okay.
And I tell people that, if you're, in your area, and next thing you know, you get this whiff of skunk smell, I say, yes, it could be a skunk. But then I said it could be an owl.
Yeah.
Now, I always say, if you're sitting and you get that smell and then about, a few minutes later it disappears, I said, yeah, it could be a great chance that an owl was just passing by that got sprayed.
Huh. That's interesting. And they're too stupid to know that they stink, right?
Well, I guess.
Well, you told me that owls aren't the smartest bird.
Yes, they're not the most intelligent bird. Yeah.
Now, we hate to cast dispersions upon our friendly owls, but oh, well. Stupid is as stupid does.
Yeah. I love that movie.
So the skunks, where do they live in general? If they were just allowed to go wherever they really liked going, where would they go? Woods?
Probably a more wooded environment, or where there's an open field next to it, because they would hide in hollow logs underneath a tree root. That would be more of a natural habitat for them. But like we said, they are very adaptable, and they can be in all kinds of areas.
Yeah, well, they're not too far from my house, because we smell it quite often.
Yeah, Marion County, and there's six other counties, have the highest skunk population. For a while, Marion was only sharing with two other counties, but then they did a skunk research, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, and they found out that there's more counties that have a very high skunk population. So apparently we're doing something right, Marion County.
I don't know why that tickles me to hear the skunk research.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem right.
And you probably will find a lot of roadkill skunks. I've already seen three on my way over here to Marion County, because as they're traveling by, they're not looking. Especially those males, they got that one thing on their mind, and then they get hit. So.
Yeah, and don't seem to be very fast.
No, they're not. They're not the most fastest creature.
Yeah,
they kind of walk sideways or waddle.
Yeah. They do walk sideways, don't they?
Yeah, a little bit
like
a
crab sometimes.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, are there skunks in every county in Ohio?
Yes. Okay. We're one of the few counties that have the most skunks.
Oh, aren't we lucky?
I know, right?
Yeah. Well, you and I come from an area where they have the most deer. So
that's right, and the most turkey, yeah.
Yeah, most turkey down there.
Huh? Yeah.
That's interesting. I have seen...
And bobcats now.
Yeah. I have seen... Well, yeah. Which bobcats are you talking about? The two-legged or the four-legged?
Maybe
ones?
Both.
Yeah, they have a lot of drunk two-legged ones. I'm not supposed to say things like that. I'm sorry. All right, so what should you do if you get sprayed?
All right, so the first thing we do not do is don't get wet. Don't get wet. I mean, don't get a shower or your dog or whatever, because the skunk spray have a lot of oils on them. Well, if you get wet or your pet wet, it'll spread it, and also it'll lock in those smells. Now, the old tradition, and I bet you probably heard this growing up, was tomato juice.
Tomato juice, yeah.
Yeah. But that is actually the worst thing you can do, because if you remember back in school with the whole pH scale, well, skunk spray is acidic. Well, guess what tomato juice is?
It's acidic. Yeah.
So you have to neutralize the acid. So you have to use a lot of bases or a lot of things with a lot of alkalinity. So there is a concoction you can make. It's peroxide, baking soda, and either Dawn dish soap or laundry detergent. So, again, all those bases.
Well, we're getting short on time, but it's interesting how Dawn dishwashing soap helps a lot of things.
It does a lot of wildlife. Yeah. There's some ingredient, I forget what it is, but it helps especially get a lot of oil out of wildlife.
Yeah, now, my wife and I use that for our dishwashing now because we were washing our hands so much because of COVID. That felt really good using Dawn. So you might check into that and use that instead of if you're going concocted with other. Well, we'll go over the concoction when we come back.
All right.
We're just about ready to get out of time here. So we're going to take a break here. We'll be right back. We're with James Anderson, the Marion Naturalist.
From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back with James Anderson, the Marion County Naturalist, who is giving us a way that we can get rid of that skunk smell. And since I didn't give you a whole lot of time, give us that formula now.
Yeah, so there are a lot of home remedies and things you can do. As we were mentioning before we went on break, there is a certain concoction you can do. There's some common household items that you probably have at your home. But it's 1 quart of hydrogen peroxide, 1/4 cup of baking soda, and 1 teaspoon of either the dish soap or laundry detergent. Now, once you apply that onto yourself, your dog, or whatever, leave it on there for about 30 minutes.
Oh, my.
So, because, again, that's neutralizing the acid.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of that oils, because that's what we're really breaking down to as well. And then after that 30-minute period, then you can rinse off. Now, you do have to repeat this process. This is not like a one-time deal.
Really?
It's going to be gone. And kind of going with that, no. Even after you do repeat, that smell is still going to linger a little bit. Now, if you were to automatically, get that shower, Febreze, perfume, whatever, you would think it would get rid of that smell. That smell, that skunk smell, is going to last a lot longer.
Does it soak into your skin or what?
It can. Yeah. But when skunk spray, they want to spray around the face because it's very, again, acidic, and it can burn.
Yeah.
They can actually spray up to 10 to 15 feet.
Wow.
So they can spray quite
stay away from them.
Yes. And if you ever see a skunk in the wild, the first thing they'll do is they'll lift up that tail and they'll say, hey, stay away from me. I'll spray you.
So they give you a warning.
Oh, yeah. They'll warn you first.
Huh.
And they may hiss and growl, but then then they'll say, all right, it's time to spray. And the reason why the spray is the last offense, because once they use it, they have to wait about roughly 2 weeks for that spray to replenish in their bodies.
Oh, okay.
So that leaves them vulnerable against predators.
Yeah.
Owls and then coyotes, domestic dogs. Once a coyote or a dog figures out, well, hey, you're not spraying me, so I think
I
you're bluffing.
Bite you.
Yeah, I can bite you. So. So again, that's why the skunk kind of waits for that as a last alternative.
Now, do skunks, when they walk by your house, do they have that odor on them because they've sprayed?
They can. Yeah. I mean, if they're spraying each other. And it's funny, they will spray each other. It's not just
they will.
Sprays. Yeah. Especially the younger ones. They tend to do that.
Yeah, well, I've had younger ones that would pee on my lap. So, yeah, I understand.
Me too.
Yeah, I bet you have.
But kind of while we're talking about young skunks, so I worked at a campground called Mohegan Wilderness, which is outside of Loudonville. Have you ever been around the Mohegan region?
Is that where they have that big, long ski run?
They have a bluegrass festival there.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyhow, when I was there, Camp Naturalists, there was four baby skunks. And my boss went around the corner and saw them. Well, the three out of the four ran away. Well, the one stood his ground, and my boss said, well, hey, let's put it in our Nature Center building and, you know, use it for our programming for
oh.
a little bit. Well, I did, and it was like kitten size. It was cute.
Oh, okay.
But it did spray me, but...
What did the mother say?
Well, the mother wasn't around.
Oh, okay.
So, it did spray me, but the smell is not as potent as the adults.
Ah, okay.
But when we were keeping them a little longer, we were realizing the smell was coming more potent. We only had them for about 2 weeks, and we were like, we probably better put you back out in the wild.
Well, when you have it as a pet, don't they usually take the smell gland out?
They do. They yeah. do. Some veterinarians will do it. And there are some people that tell me, yes, oh, I have a skunk as a pet, but in the state of Ohio, that is illegal.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a great idea.
And I've heard people who have had skunks as pets, they said it's almost like a house cat.
Really?
They say they really act like house cats. And even with that sin gland out, they said sometimes if they get really upset, they'll still lift up their tail. And I found out from somebody that if you tuck their tail in between their legs, they can't spray you, because as they're trying to spray you, they're pressurizing out with that gland again.
Yeah.
So I did that quite a bit.
So have you dealt with a lot of skunks in your nature role that you play? Or
At Tallgrass Trail, I have seen a couple. But overall, I haven't seen too many.
So when they're in there, when they're looking for little girl skunks, do they come out a lot, or do they stay... Or do they go looking for the dens with the little girls? And
They're going to go looking.
So,
and it's going to be multiple males.
So you may see them out and about now.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah.
And you might, if you have a female denning at your site, you may have four or five males on your property. So if you have this big congregation, you're like, oh, yeah, I got a nice breeding ground for skunks.
Yeah, bring out the hymnals. We'll have a hymn sing with
That's
everybody.
Right.
Yeah, holy cow. Well, I love the way they look.
Oh, yeah, and they're very soft, too.
Yeah, and... matter of fact, it's breaking my heart to see the one that's laying in front of you dead. But anyway, the skunks... Are related to any other animal? You said they had their own
They're
species.
Basically in their own families, yeah.
So they don't really have other... Oh, we have a phone call. Let's go see what this person has to say. Maybe they know more about skunks than I do. I don't know a whole lot. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Oh, just me again. When I took my dog out this morning at 7 o'clock in our backyard, we have a fenced-in backyard, and when I took her out this morning, I caught the odor of a skunk somewhere nearby.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
Now, we've had that happen before, and normally it's a pretty strong odor, and it's because one got hit up on Marion Edison Road, which is right behind my house.
Mm-hmm.
But this morning it was just a faint smell, James, so what would that be from, you think?
You had an owl fly by.
You could have. Yeah, you could have had an owl. Also, too, it could have been a more of a juvenile skunk. We were mentioning that as they're younger, their smell is not as potent, but as they get older, they get more stronger.
Yeah, I heard you say that. I didn't go up on the road just to see if one was hit, but normally if one has been hit during the night, it's a pretty pungent odor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That they put out. In fact, my wife has got a fantastic sense of smell, And she's, on occasion, she said she could even smell it in the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If,
wow.
Yeah, if one of them hit on Marion Edison, which, you know, as I say, it's just right behind our house, you know, maybe a couple hundred yards.
Did you hear what James said about how far they can shoot their spray? Don't go chasing after him.
growing up on a farm. Our collie, that, you know, always went down and got the milk cows, she got sprayed a couple of times. You know, collies got pretty long hair. Hers was always matted from being out in the woods and down the pasture.
Which is worse, a skunk smell or a pig sty?
Oh, definitely. I don't mind pig at all.
Oh, I can't stand the smell of pig. Okay.
No. What's really worse, if you're going to be talking about, is chicken. Now, that's bad.
It is. Yeah.
But, it can be really, really strong, and especially if you take a direct hit, like I know Queenie did a couple of times.
Did you use the tradition tomato juice, or did you use a concoction to get rid of the smell? Or?
Well, quite frankly, I think my grandfather used sheep dip.
Sheep dip? Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Which, I don't know whether it neutralized it or just overpowered it.
If you've
ever used sheep dip, it's a pretty strong smell in itself. It's not hideously bad, but it's a real strong medicine-y type smell.
I've smelled sheep dip before. It's not a pleasant smell, but it's not a horrible smell.
No, it's not a horrible smell, but I don't know. He might have used that to cover up the odor of the skunk.
Yeah.
Huh. I never tried the tomato juice.
Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
No, because it's an acid, and skunk spray's an acid, so you're making it worse.
That makes sense.
But use peroxide, baking soda, and dish soap or laundry detergent, and all your bases are alkalinities, and that helps neutralize the acid out of the smell.
Well, a few years ago, got up one morning, went out to get the paper, and there were four baby skunks across the road. Across the street, playing underneath a pine tree, and they were cute as could be.
I kept thinking,
I wonder where Mama is, you know, and I never did see Mama, and I wasn't going to get close enough.
I wouldn't. Not if they could shoot 15 feet.
Oh, really? Okay, we'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, take care, Fred.
Doggies do tend to... Well, they don't know, so they want to play.
They look like a cat.
Yeah, let's go play or whatever they do. I don't know that they do that, but anyway, you're listening to WWGH, and we're with James Anderson here on the air. That's the name of the program, and we've got about five more minutes. Do you have anything more you want to talk about on the skunkies?
On the skunkies.
Now, you did say that some of them were all... All black?
Yeah, basically all black, barely any white, and then vice versa. It's just genetics that really control that.
Is that the same thing? We have all black squirrels on our street. Is that the same thing?
So for that one, it could be several things. It could be either a gray squirrel or a fox squirrel with a genetic mutation that just causes that darkness. But the other thing, too, it could be hybridization from those two species of squirrel that causes that.
Oh, sure. Use big words with me.
Yeah. So basically when a gray squirrel and a fox squirrel mate, and then there's a genetic mutation that can cause that. So.
Now, I have noticed all the really black squirrels are within a block of the area, so I'm assuming they're mamas are all the same mama or something.
Probably. Then the other thing, too, with black being a very dominant gene, that really, for future generations, that can keep that population going.
Well, then why don't we see more black squirrels?
Oh, in certain pockets, you will.
Do you? Okay. Well, this is just...
I know, like up in, I want to say Akron, somewhere in northeastern Ohio, I guess that's all they have is black squirrels.
Now, there are squirrels in England, I think they call them English squirrels, that are red.
Yeah,
that's real red.
Yeah, there's a different species. We do have a red squirrel.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, it's really small.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit bigger than a chipmunk, but smaller than the black squirrel that you're seeing.
The most fantastic thing you've ever told me on my show is that we have flying squirrels
in Ohio. That's right, southern flying squirrels.
Yeah, now they don't really flap their wings.
They just glide down.
Yeah, and you had somebody that was going to do a seminar on flying squirrels.
One of my former college professors, Don Olatoff, he teaches down there in University of Rio Grande, down there by Bob Evans.
Yeah.
He's one of the top researchers for flying squirrels in the state of Ohio.
Have you ever seen one?
When I was in school, we had to do, in our one of our courses, we had to help him with his research. But then at Paradise Nature Preserve, which is our park outside of Caledonia, I have seen them there, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen them fly or gliding?
Yes.
Oh,
they are horrible cool. on land. They like, they hop. They're not like the other squirrels you see, but boy, once they cling onto that tree, they whip around and they pop their arms and legs out, and then they glide along the forest.
Now, is it just that they have really sharp claws that they're able to climb up a tree? I've even seen a squirrel climb on the bottom side of a limb and go around the limb.
Yeah, I mean, it has to do with their claws. Also, too, how their appendages how their fingers are kind of more curved, so they kind of get a more grass.
Okay.
Versus you and I have more flat.
They don't have thumbs, though, do they?
No, they don't have thumbs.
I thought we were alone on that one.
Well, the opossum have thumbs on their back feet.
You told me about that.
And that's how they hang upside down.
That's amazing. Isn't nature amazing? It's fun. I love it. And I love this show, but we're going to have to take our break here in about a minute. So we've talked. I think we've killed the subject of squirrels and skunks. So where can I go to see a flying squirrel again?
The Paradise Nature Preserve is a really good spot.
Okay.
I would say some pockets of maybe a big island. You got to have a lot of forest.
Because
they don't want to be in more open areas. Because
hard to fly off of a branch of wheat.
Yeah, and they can't walk very well in an open field. So.
Okay. Do they live in the trees? Do squirrels all live in the trees?
Yes. Okay. Now, a lot of times they highly depend on woodpecker holes, or sometimes they'll gather up all those leaves.
That's what I've seen. Now, that can't. How does that not fall down?
Oh, they do.
Big wind. Oh, okay.
They do.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to have to take a break here. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and I'm with our naturalist, James Anderson, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes. You're on WWGH here in Marion, Ohio, and thanks for listening. We'll be right back after a 15-minute break.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs.
Now, how is this all going to end,